Bottom Line News Radio 610 KONA live from Olympia, from the O'Brien Building. Certainly thank our good friend John here for his hospitality, hosting us. Rob Francis here in Olympia, John McKay back in studio. Joining us, Senator Matt Behnke from the 8th. Good to see you.
Great to see you. Thanks for coming up, and appreciate not only the local support of trying to connect with Olympia, but to bring the voice back to Eastern Washington, the Tri-City area. I think events like this mean a lot to keep that connection. When we're on the floor, we're in the House, we're working our butts off up here trying to fight a lot of these really bad bills. It means a lot to us to have you up here doing this.
You know, I had the chance to watch from the Senate wings this year, and also went over to the House and watched a little bit in the gallery. And man, I understand why you guys have two showers a day. It's tough.
And it's getting rougher right now. So, yeah.
But there are some positives to pull out every once in a while, and there is a bipartisan effort on energy, particularly nuclear up here. Yep. And you know, you're on the Energy Committee, so we know that nuclear is going to be, I think, of all the energy sources, we already have hydro, we know that. But of the ones that we need to build on, it looks like nuclear is the direction that most are seeing as the most viable. I don't know about where it falls in the expense, but it's certainly going to produce more energy for the cost than some giant wind farm. Let's not get started on that. But talk to us about the bipartisan effort on nuclear.
Yeah, I appreciate you bringing this up because, as you know, we're the energy capital of the Northwest. We've spoken a lot about our primary efforts is bringing that to the state of Washington because of the limitations that we're at, resource capacity and the demand allocation that's on our grid right now. Everybody wants to go to electric vehicles, or at least a lot of people. Do we have the infrastructure? Do we have the backbone? We're building out a manufacturing economy that some of us want to keep and bring to the state of Washington and build the jobs and that workforce that can get the high-paying jobs, the demands that we need to have. As we see emerging technologies grow, we want them in the Tri-City area. We have the land to do that and work together as a team. Nuclear power is going to be a big part of that. Across the table from Senator Shoemake and even Representative Dolley, who are the chairs of the House and the Senate Energy Committee, have been really consistently working with us. And this is due, in fact, frankly, from Senator Brown, Senator Delvin, people ahead of us who've kind of paved the way to get nuclear back into the forefront of all the options that are on the table. We have hydro, as you mentioned, as a baseload power. We need to continue that. We need to look at what are these other emerging ones like hydrogen coming out there. But putting that spirit, putting that word out there that Washington State is going nuclear, advanced nuclear, we're going to look at, make sure the safety, the waste, the recycling, what we can do, and a lot of the efforts currently going on are going to move us in that direction. It's still a big bipartisan support.
Well, let's be honest. You said Washington State, but let's really drill down. It's Eastern Washington.
It is.
You know, Eastern Washington's doing the hydrogen in Douglas County. We've got, in our area, we've got massive hydro as well as the nuclear. I mean, in fact, they tried it over here, but it's called whoops. So, you know, it's just there. They haven't quite been able to get that up and running over here on the west side. So really on the east side, on our side of the state, once again, it's the agriculture and the energy. Yep. We're the driving force. On. So as we know that Amazon is buying in, we know that Microsoft is buying in, we know that there are other entities that want these data centers and so they want to buy into nuclear modular. And we know we've got that plot of land out there that they want to at some point get to 12.
Right.
What are the Energy Northwest has been able to do it for three decades. What are the obstacles that we're looking at as far as is it time or is it structure? What are the obstacles that the legislature is dealing with in getting this to really start moving forward?
I tell you, a lot of the policies go after the red tape that a lot of the readers and listeners that you're listening to us right now always continue to file into my inbox and say, what can we do about streamlining, permitting, siting? We have a lot of that from the 70s and 80s of those predecessors that have been out there. And our forefathers, the generation ahead of us, who've done a lot of that groundwork at the Hanford Reservation so we can speed up that permitting, siting, because we already have pretty much a site that's gone through most of those hoops, whether it's environmental controls, whether it's SEPA compliance, whether it's a national FERPA compliance that you have to have in place. That's what puts us in a competitive nature where Atlas Agros and these other people want to come. But they want to tap into that power that we're working with BPA to make sure we're there and we're at capacity. We just need to push that even further, make it a priority and hopefully get Governor Ferguson on board to make sure he comes out and strong. And he has been kind of winking and nodding toward us that he wants to do it better than Governor Inslee did. But we're really pushing him to come out, be public about it, not be behind the doors or in the, you know, the staff meetings. We want to make sure we put it loud and firm that we're pro-nuclear power here.
Anything with two legs and can stand upright can do it better than Governor Inslee did. However, with that said, one of the other things, we talked about the red tape, but there's the other part of this that the legislature seems to be going in the other direction, and that is the non-friendly aspect to business, to coming in and wanting to build these things, to do these things. Everything they've been doing the last couple of years is making it harder and harder for business to survive. So while, yes, certainly we are laying out, we're pouring the foundation for this, there are other things that we're doing that could very well make entities think twice about wanting to do this in our state. So as we're looking to tackle that aspect, how do we tackle the aspect of becoming more welcoming again to these entities that are going to provide us all of this baseload?
Well, I think it's when you look at total policies out there, and we had one today which just came off the floor literally minutes ago about unemployment insurance. We have one of the best programs in the nation with a sustainable, you know, umbrella, a safety net that people are looking at to where we can go ahead and help people out when they need a hand up and not a hand out. And in this unemployment insurance allows people to protest, and when they're on the striking lines up to 4 weeks and even longer, and the state will then eventually pay for these striking workers to make sure they're okay, they're doing things that are out there. And we're just concerned that this is going to drag into over that 4 weeks mark and then actually then be incentivized to strike more. The counter option was sitting there talking to us about accountability, transparency, and what we can do to take care of the workforce. And I would argue all of our manufacturers are going to start going out of the state. I ran a bill a couple years ago with the best manufacturing act in the state of Washington was build economic strength through building out manufacturing, double our manufacturing load. These are the red tape policies that are going to slow us down. They're going to cut us at the knees. They're going to tell businesses, no, we don't want you here because you're going to have to pay these high premiums. You're going to pay more money into these things. And it's going to be just one strike after the other is what we fear. And it's going to cause us to lose this competitive advantage on the economic scale as well as the trained workforce, because we have skilled workforce that have been in the nuclear industry for years. They're going to go to other states because we're already starting to see that competitive edge go to Texas, go to Maryland, go to these other states already pushing this forward.
Well, and then the other question, too, that has to be asked is, at what point does Idaho start coming in? Because, look, they're watching what we're doing. They just turned around and did a massive tax give back today, governor signed off on it, massive tax give back. So as they're doing all of these things and they're right next to us, at what point in time do we have to start worry about them taking this as well?
We should do it already, because that's that competitive nature that when people look across the states, where do you want to go to a business-friendly state to get the jobs, to get the workforce, to get the building? Talk about building code standards. When you add the additional regulation that drives cost up into building materials, or even the other ways of the data tracking that the government surveillance need to be in. But our Department of Ecology reaching out to the new director had quoted with me to be a better partner versus adversarial, to collaborate with us more on what we're going to be doing. And even the ones with Director Kurt Beckett over at FSEC, who just came on board, I said, if you're going to work with us, you'll get my vote to get in there to work on any energy projects, whether it's siting, transmission lines, or even the policies that we can align better for the state and get us in here so we're ready in the Northwest for the future.
Senator Matt Behnke from the 8th joining us, and we've got about a minute or so left, so I want to ask you about this too, because with the Trump administration pulling a lot of funding from the Green New Deal and those infrastructure projects, that's certainly going to impact some energy projects, regardless how efficient we think they're going to be, that are already underway, and especially one in our backyard could very well have an impact on that if that funding gets pulled. So we really need to be open and welcoming to these entities coming in that are going to supply power to us, or at least give us the opportunity to build and add to our grid, as we look like we could very well lose some of these solar and wind entities.
Yeah, which I think is a good thing, because it's a capital marketplace, and we got to showcase and challenge ourselves that what we're doing has that return on investment back to the voters, back to the people who got us here, and back to the hard workers of the state of Washington that earned this money, that paid into these projects, and we're doing the right thing by them.
Senator Matt Begich from the 8th, always appreciate your time. Good to see you.
Thank you, sir. Good to see you as well.
And we're going to take a quick time out.